Halle, 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 The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes did. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing the man and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching? With authority, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How often in the last 10 months, have we heard about people claiming that their freedom, their individual liberty, was being restricted by orders to wear a mask? Of course, the orders were designed to use one of the few means we have had to control the spread of COVID-19, and they were issued for the purpose of protecting as many people as possible. But people in this country who prize individual liberty above common good didn't wish to hear about it. The well-being of the community is what is behind the lesson from 1 Corinthians that we've heard this morning. It may be hard for us to get our heads around ideas about eating food sacrificed to idols, but the intent of Paul's instruction to the Corinthians, which made sense in their time and their culture, was a way of saying that those who had a stronger faith and could eat such food without thinking that they were being untrue to the triune God should refrain from doing so in the presence of those who would be confused or misled because of their lack of understanding. What can be a liberating force for some people can destroy others, Paul tells us in the 11th verse. I think that it is not a stretch to analogize this lesson to a contemporary experience. Those of us who are stronger in body are to wear masks when we're around others and to keep our distance to protect the members of our society who are weaker, more physically compromised, and therefore more likely to become infected with the virus. If Paul were with us, I doubt that he would be interested in appeals to individual rights when the well-being of others is at stake. Take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak, he told his flock in Corinth. The good of the community is a theme that runs through the lessons today. It was for the good of the Israelites as a community that God would call another prophet like Moses after Moses' work was done. They complained, "If I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore or ever see again this great fire, I will die." But they needed to hear God's voice to get to the promised land. So one of them had to be called as the intermediary with God to reach their destination. This past November, many people in this country felt that we needed a different leader because the previous one could no longer be trusted with the control that he had. So for the good of the country, we hope, we shall see, the former's dreams were quashed, and there is now the possibility that a new approach will take control of the country's assets in order to at least slow down the spread of COVID. Like the frightening possibility of the spread of the unclean spirit in the synagogue in the gospel text, we have been dealing with the spread of the unclean virus, not only in this country, of course, but throughout the world. Millions of people have been slowed down or stopped in our regular lives, and still the evil continues to reach new people and to render them ill or to take their lives completely. We can see how frightening the contest between Jesus and the unclean spirit must have been for the people gathered for the Sabbath worship. We might ask ourselves, what was such a being doing in a sacred space like a synagogue? How did it get in there? Was that spirit in the man when he entered the synagogue without anyone, maybe even the man, noticing? Was it Jesus' teaching with authority that propelled the ugly, evil response from the spirit? The Greek word that's translated as authority is exousion, and it means a power that goes out or emanates from someone. Maybe it was the power of Jesus' teaching, unlike that of the scribes, who were the traditional teachers of the law, that excited the unclean spirit. In fact, one commentator suggests that the demon's question, "Have you come to destroy us?" expresses the opinion of the scribes about Jesus, those very people who the congregation thought were not so full of authority as Jesus. This meeting in the synagogue in Capernaum is the first occurrence in Jesus' public ministry in Mark's gospel. Before that, Jesus had called his first disciples in Galilee, which we focused on last week. And before that, at the very beginning of the gospel, he came to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Immediately after that, upon Jesus having been possessed with the Holy Spirit, he was driven into the wilderness for his 40-day temptation. Right after that, he went on to call his first disciples. So we have, in essence, a struggle between the Holy Spirit within Jesus and the unclean spirit lurking in a man, maybe a worshiper. This struggle is acted out before the people of Capernaum, and for the benefit of the community, they are rid of the unclean spirit as Jesus confronts it and expels it. Unlike the beginning of Jesus' public ministry in John's gospel, when Jesus turned gallons and gallons of water into wine to increase the celebration at the wedding in Cana, here Jesus heals only one person. But the benefit of that single healing is felt by the whole community, because at once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee, Mark tells us. And that fame brought more and more people to him to hear the good news, to be saved, and to be healed. It seems to me, if we ask ourselves, what are we to take from these lessons today? We don't have the powers that Jesus had, although he told us that with faith we do have them, but we don't usually see ourselves exercising those powers. What can we do? How can we make a difference in our world? This reminds me of a story which may be true and may not be, maybe apocryphal, about a man who was on vacation in Puerto Vallarta, and he was walking on the beach, and he saw that the beach was covered with starfish. And then he saw one single man bending down, standing up, and throwing something into the water. And again, bending down, standing up, and throwing into the water. As he got closer, he saw that the man was throwing these stranded starfish into the water. But there were thousands of them on the beach. So he asked the man, "Why are you doing that?" And the man said, "Well, they need to be in the water in order to live." The man said, "But you'll never make a difference. Look how many there are." And the response was, "It's all the difference in the world to that one," as he threw one more starfish back into the sea. So we can try and make a difference one time by one time, one action by one action, one call by one call, one donation by one donation. As we add up those individual actions and add up all of the individual actions of all of the members of the congregations, we make a difference in the world. And that's what Jesus called us to. Jesus called each of us to do whatever is in our power to make a difference for the people in our world who need something different. Jesus' expulsion of the unclean spirit is a cleansing of a different sort from the kind that we so often experience in our time and country. Think of the aisles and aisles of products that you can find in your favorite store. They clean, perfume, deodorize every part of your body and every corner of your house. It seems that we are obsessed with cleanliness in the United States, but that obsession is not always about spiritual cleanliness. Today, we can consider how best to focus our spiritual lives, both individually and in community, on surviving the pandemic so that we are more able to walk in Jesus' way. In response to the gift of that focus which Jesus makes to us, we can sing with the psalmist, "Alleluia, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation." And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who practice this have a good understanding. God's praise endures forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.